Why be afraid of coronavirus? It's all over, isn't it? Well, not quite. There are signs of it, the pandemic becoming endemic, which is another way of saying less dangerous in certain areas, but still killing people, can still kill me and you. Many people have had vaccination and still got COVID and got COVID twice. I've heard so many conflicting things about the COVID pandemic. It's hard to know what to believe. It's so divisive. I mean, even to mention that word vaccination is immediately someone will jump on you from one side. You must promote vaccination. Someone else will jump on you from another side. Don't promote vaccination. One thing is that among all the various ideas floating around, we don't find many who still believe that coronavirus doesn't exist. There's no such thing. There used to be quite... We used to hear about it a lot. Anyway, here in India, still the world's largest population, but many have died and from COVID, and seems almost everyone knows someone who died from COVID or related conditions. Now, again, that's controversial to say that, because you can say that people had comorbidities, but anyway, just being conventional here, people are dying from it. In a short period last year, I had 5 disciples here in India dying from coronavirus, plus several who were sheltered in line to be initiated. It was a really rough period. And the talk was that deaths in India were actually much more than reported. And apart from that, there were many more deaths from other conditions which weren't getting treated because the medical staff were overworked and the hospitals were full, and we used to see photos of people in line in queues for cremation and bodies thrown in rivers. People were very afraid. But then, as it wore on, the fear got mixed with resignation. And as the intensity of the pandemic wore down somewhat, there was even some indifference and complacency because people want to get on with life. Myself, victim of my own complacency. But then again, when the intensity goes up and we death rate goes up and more people start dying from it, then again people get afraid. They become afraid and they won't venture out. I was in a village last year in Tamil Nadu, India, where the villagers, they got big trunks of trees and there's only one road through the village and hardly it's used except by themselves. They put a roadblock on both sides of the village so no one can go in and no one can go out. It's taking the law in their own. Well, you could walk around it, I guess, but at least vehicular traffic can't come in and out. Taking the law in their own hands, they're actually losing their income because they need to get their cash crops out, or even the whatever they're growing out to the local town market, but they decided better be safe than sorry. What we're talking about, it's not fear of coronavirus per se, but it's fear of death. Sometimes I see people, they send around some message, please pray for the recovery of so-and-so, and the person's already over 70 or 80 years old, and so old. I mean, why not just let them die peacefully instead of trying to pump them with oxygen and drugs and have tubes in them? Just let people die peacefully. Recovery of old men, what, they'll recover for a short time and then they'll die. Anyway, they're going to die. Fear of death, yeah, and there's also fear of vaccination, of some massive, sinister scheme. Might be true, might be not. I don't know. I don't think anyone knows for sure, although some people are pretty sure they know for sure. Whoops, I'm going to get really trolled for not buying into the, or not being completely convinced that vaccination is a sinister scheme to depopulate the world or whatever. Some are afraid, not just for themselves, but for their family, what will happen if my husband dies? I know two cases of disciples of mine, women disciples, one in India, one in Europe, whose husband died from corona or related complications, whatever. And they're completely devastated. They both of them have young children or one child, and they can pull on with life, but it's very, very difficult for them in all respects, economically and emotionally and socially even. It's very, very, very difficult for them. And they're especially afraid of their children and how the children are going to be brought up. They need a father. Someone might make a case for feminism. Women have to be more self-reliant and this and that. You can be as self-reliant as you like, but that won't protect you when it's time to die. Let's get to the real philosophical point. If you think that life finishes at death and there's no soul, that there was a big boom, a big bang at some point in time, no, at the beginning of time, and that everything's just a bunch of chemicals that evolved into the certain shapes that we call human and other bodies, and that we die and that's it, it's all over, it's finished, then why worry so much about death? Anyway, your life is just a blip in time. Your life and your death are of no significance, cosmically or in any other way, actually, if we think we're just a bunch of chemicals. Then life has no meaning any more than some leaves floating around in a river stream. Then why protect from coronavirus? Coronavirus just means some chemicals enter the body, which is another bunch of chemicals. It's just chemicals reacting with chemicals, but it can cause death. But what is death if you don't believe in any soul or any spiritual dimension? It's just an irreversible series of chemical reactions. So why be afraid? Chemicals and chemicals interact. Okay. Actually, you might think it's a good idea. If we're always hearing about overpopulation, and there is a theory that vaccination is meant to drastically decrease the population of the world, although we didn't see that yet. Well, if you think the world is overpopulated, well, maybe it's a good idea. So many people are dying. How about that? Or if we buy into Darwinistic ideas, then it's natural selection at work. It's the survival of the fittest. If you don't keep yourself fit, or if you don't have enough antibodies, a strong immune system, then you're going to die. Okay, it's just nature at work, isn't it? But you can inject yourself as much as you like. You can get the best vaccines. There came in the news, one man in Bihar had somehow managed to get himself vaccinated 18 times. You can quarantine yourself away, lock yourself down for months. And after the pandemic is over, it will be over, You can stand proudly and say, I survived. But ultimately no one survives. All must die. All things must pass, as the Bible says. This survival of the fittest is nonsense. You can be fit or unfit, but no one survives. And then on the other hand, if you believe in God and that you're going to heaven, the Christian, Muslim, or Judaic idea, then why worry about coronavirus? It sounds like it's better there than here. At least there's no coronavirus in heaven, or if there is, then what is heaven? It's this clinging to life, not knowing that actually we will always be alive. Coronavirus cannot kill us. Wait a minute, I just said that so many people are dying from coronavirus. Now I'm saying coronavirus can't kill you. Well, what's going on? The body dies, but the soul is eternal. This is the first understanding of spiritual knowledge. I am an eternal being. Weapons cannot kill me. Germs cannot kill me. Nothing can kill me. The body definitely will die, whether it's by coronavirus or slipping on some ice and falling and cracking your head open. The body will die. You're peaceful in your sleep death. But we don't die. Mahabharata states that actual death is ignorance. Where there is no ignorance, there is no death. He who is ruled by lust, anger, and greed is ruled by the god of death. So ignorance is the problem. Ignorance of our actual spiritual position, that we are eternal spiritual beings. We don't die. So then when the body is about to die, we know that I'm not going to die. But if we're ruled by lust and anger and greed, then this spiritual knowledge, even if we theoretically know it, we don't realize it. We become overly attached to this body and we cling to life. It's easy to say, don't worry, everything will be okay, don't worry, but you might die. We will die, the body will die, the body will die. Everything will be okay. Don't worry, everything will be okay. Now, it's easy to say that on the material platform, but it's just hopefulness. Actually, nothing's ever okay in this material world, but if you're in Krishna consciousness, understanding our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, our eternal spiritual relationship, then whether we live or whether we die, our soul is connected with Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranamoy Jugala Kishore Jibarne Marane Gati Ar Nahimo. Radha and Krishna, the divine couple, they are my life, the goal of my life. In life, and after death, in this life and after death, and nothing else. We don't want anything else. We're worshipping him here. We'll worship him wherever we are, wherever Krishna takes us in the next life. And if we don't worship Krishna, if we don't establish our relationship with Krishna, then whether we survive coronavirus or not, nothing will be okay. We should worry if we're not Krishna conscious. That's the real thing. Our most worshipable divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, related that during the Second World War, he was in Calcutta, which was being bombed by the Japanese from time to time, and there were bomb shelters. At one time he was taking his meal, and the bombs started to drop. Everyone ran for the bomb shelter. And he said, well, let me finish my meal and then I'll go and take shelter. And he imitated the sound. And he said, I saw the bombs as another form of Krishna. Kalo smi, says Krishna. I am time. Mrityu sarva harascha aham. I am death, all-devouring death, which takes everything away. So that's a very high level of spiritual consciousness to see even death as Krishna, bombs as Krishna. Of course, nowadays, dropping bombs from airplanes is an outmoded way of killing people. We have more sophisticated ways of doing it nowadays. Some people say that Corona is a lab-made virus. Anyway, maybe. I don't know. The most common statement, short statement in the Bible, do not be afraid. It appears 365 times. Then, if you believe in God, then you should take that seriously. Do not be afraid. I suspect that many who profess to believe in God have not taken him very seriously. They use him for their own convenience. Give us this daily bread, plus a whole lot more. They do a little perfunctory church going, or maybe they do a little worship at home, some puja, trying to get as much out of God with as little input. That's the materialistic mentality. The boss pays the worker, and the boss wants to get as much as he can out of the worker by while giving him minimum amount of money he can do before the worker leaves him or goes on strike or whatever. Similarly, the worker, if he's in that consciousness, will try to do as little work as he can and get as much facility out of the boss. So similarly with God, I do a little prayer, I do a little this, a little something spiritual, religious, and I want to get as much as possible out of him. People who believe in God, they say, but they're also afraid of death, maybe because at least in the back of their minds, they know that throughout life they've done things which are unpleasing to God. But they didn't care. Now they're afraid of his wrath. So more important than being afraid of death, instead of being afraid of death, why not worry about what we're doing with our life? Whether or not we believe in an afterlife, we all have to die, and this life is a flash, so why make a big thing out of it? You see, either atheist or theist, it's just a flash, boom, and we all have to die. So why make such a big thing out of death? We do, don't we? But why? Philosophically considered, whatever we believe, we have to die. So why worry? Naturally, we feel life to be important, even if scientifically or philosophically we don't believe it to be so. If we're a materialist in the sense of accepting materialistic philosophy, nowadays they call it physicalist philosophy, that we just believe there's only matter, there's nothing spiritual, then why do we feel life to be important? Why do we feel sorry if someone dies? Why do we try to protect our life? It's just dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return. There's just the body is a combination of chemicals which were in a different combination previously, and then they'll either be burned or rot away or whatever. And then the chemicals will go elsewhere. Why do we give so much importance to life? Actually, we should make a big thing out of human life. Why? Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samana metat pashubhyanaranam dharmo hitesham adiko vishesham dharmena hina pashubhyanaranam. Animals eat, obviously. They sleep, obviously. They have sex, and they fear, and they defend, and they fight. And humans do the same thing. Humans eat, sleep, mate, and defend. What is the difference between a human and an animal? You may say, well, a human is more intelligent. But in some ways, the animals can be more intelligent. The Arctic terns fly from the North Pole to the South Pole every year, navigating. We don't have the intelligence to do that. The difference, the Hitopadesh, from which I just quoted a Sanskrit verse, this verse explains that the difference is the possibility in human life to investigate the ultimate reality. If we don't do that, if we don't investigate the ultimate reality and live our lives in terms of pursuing that ultimate reality, then we are simply like animals. We haven't developed our truly human consciousness. So the real disaster is not that people are dying, because death is inevitable, but that they die uselessly, having misused their life. We're so concerned about coronavirus killing humans, but humans daily kill so many animals, so many babies in the form of abortion, for our convenience, for our tongue. You don't think of that, do you, when you go to the supermarket and you see nicely packed in some polythene package some meat? You don't think of how the animal's been tortured and slaughtered. Coronavirus is one of the many forms of karmic reactions for the sinful activities of human beings, such as unnecessarily causing pain to millions of animals, killing them and babies. As you sow, so you shall reap. It's right there in the Bible, talking about karma, although Christians don't see that. So more important than protecting against coronavirus is protecting against the whole misuse of our life, or to put it round the other way, we should be proactive and positive and understand what we need to do, how we need to lead our life. Instead of making plans how I can live, well, that we have, as long as we're in this world, we have to eat and sleep and so many things, and we should take necessary precautions against disease. But more important than making all plans to live, I'll get a big house, I'll get lots of money, and this and that, is preparing ourselves to die. In this regard, I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, the quintessential encyclopedic exposition of Vedic spiritual knowledge. I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 18. First, I'll read the Sanskrit, then I'll read the translation of the verse and the commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tarava king na jivanti bastra king nashvashantyuta nakadanti namehanti kim grame pashavo pare. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? So the message is that, well, we're alive, well, trees are also alive. We breathe, but the blacksmith's bellows, which we don't see in much in the modern age, but it used to be part of traditional society, the blacksmith's bellows also breathe, so to speak, with expansion and deflation, just like the lungs. And all around us, we see that we're eating, and the animals, they also eat, they also discharge semen. So the message is, what's the difference? Here's the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life, or part of it, is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. Life is meant for the maximum duration of existence, for eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry, and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science, and there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development or advancement of materialistic science, for the hedonistic philosophy of eating, mating, drinking, and merrymaking. Merrymaking. Life is solely meant for tapasya, austerity, for purifying one's existence, so that one may enter into eternal life just after the end of the human form of life. The materialists want to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. They want to get the maximum comforts in this present life because they think conclusively that there is no life after death. Conclusively. There's no life after death. I said so. This ignorance about the eternity of the living being and the change of covering in the material world, that means we get different bodies, and the bodies are different coverings of the soul. This ignorance about the eternity of the living being and the change of covering in the material world has played havoc in the structure of modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans of modernized man. The plans for solving the problems of society have only aggravated the troubles. Even if it is possible to prolong life more than 100 years, advancement of human civilization does not necessarily follow. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for hundreds and thousands of years. At Vrindavan, there is a tamarind tree, the place is known as Imlitala, which is said to have existed since the time of Lord Krishna. In the Calcutta Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree said to be older than 500 years, and there are many such trees all over the world. Actually, that banyan tree is now finished. It has died and got blown down in a storm. But when Srila Prabhupada wrote this, it was there. Swami Shankaracharya lived only 32 years and Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that the prolonged lives of the above-mentioned trees are more important than the life of Shankara or Chaitanya? Prolonged life without spiritual value is not very important. One may doubt that trees have life because they do not breathe, but modern scientists like Bose, that's Jagadish Chandra Bose, have already proved that there is life in plants. So breathing is no sign of actual life. The Bhagavatam says that the bellows of the blacksmith breathes very soundly, but that does not mean that the bellows has life. The materialist will argue that life in the tree and life in the man cannot be compared because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sexual intercourse. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam asks whether other animals like the dogs and hogs living in the same village with human beings do not eat and enjoy sexual life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to other animals, Pashavo Pare, means that persons who are simply engaged in planning a better type of animal life, consisting of eating, breathing, and mating, are also animals in the shape of human beings. A society of such polished animals cannot benefit suffering humanity, for an animal can easily harm another animal, but rarely do good. In this regard, I'll just tell you something about trees living a long life. Last year, I stayed for a few months at a farm owned by devotees in Tamil Nadu, hill area of Tamil Nadu in India. There was a tamarind tree there. It's still there, no doubt. Big tamarind tree, very old. Now, when we say a farm, it's not like in some other countries, the farms are all cut off from each other by hedges or barbed wire, in some cases electrified wire, but people's fields are contiguous. So you just by looking, you can't see where one farm begins and the other ends. So they're very old. We can see it's a very old tamarind tree. It gave so much tamarind fruit. The local people from the village would come and pick up and take what they needed. And still we could collect sackfuls, so many sackfuls, more than once harvesting, big sackfuls of tamarind, which we send to our ISKCON center in Salem. So there's a 90-year-old man living in that village. And he said, because a 90-year-old man living in the village means, in traditional culture, means he was born in the village, he's lived in the village, and now he's 90 years old and he'll die in the village. So he said that when he was a child, the same tree was there, and it looked just as old as it looked now. So it must be maybe some hundreds of years old. So the tree has stood there, and generations of people have come and gone and done their farming and got married and grown up, had children who grew up, and they then had children, and the tree is standing. It's humbling in one way to see that our life is just a flash compared to that of the tree, which stands through generations and generations of humans coming and going. I'm going to read a quote from a talk that Srila Prabhupada gave on July the 9th, 1973. Srila Prabhupada said, "After all, everyone will die. Nobody will exist. So nobody should be afraid of death. This is Vedic civilization. Death is inevitable, as sure as death. Who can avoid death? So, being afraid of death, we should not deviate from our duties, our real duty." In other words, we shouldn't become so afraid of death that we deviate from our duty of living our life properly, which means following dharma, living in relation to God, Krishna. I'm going to read now from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22. Text 24. "As long as the body is there, it is subjected to the influence of climatic changes, disease, and natural disturbances, the threefold miseries of material existence. We cannot avoid them. Sometimes we," Srila Prabhupada referring to himself, "sometimes we receive letters from neophyte devotees questioning why they have fallen sick, although they are pursuing Krishna consciousness. They should learn from this verse that they have to become tolerant. Dvandva titikshaya. This is the world of duality. One should not think that because he has fallen sick, he has fallen from Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness can continue without impediment from any material opposition. Lord Sri Krishna therefore advises in Bhagavad Gita, 'Tangs titikshasva Bharata.' My dear Arjuna, please try to tolerate all these disturbances. Be fixed in your Krishna conscious activities. I referred one disciple of mine whose husband had died, so she asked me, why is this happening? He was chanting Hare Krishna, I was chanting Hare Krishna. I referred her to this purport. Srila Prabhupada there is in his this purport is quoting from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 14, a very well known and very, very important verse. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukha daha agama payino nityas tangsta tikshasva bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Agama payino nityas. Things come, things go, everything in this world is temporary. So we shouldn't get hung up on anything. However bad it seems in this mature world is just temporary. This COVID crisis, like everything, will come to an end. There have been so many wars and famines and plagues and the Spanish flu, which began just toward the end of World War I. It lasted what, 2 to 3 years, and there's no clear figure of how many died, just as there's no clear figure of how many died in COVID. But it's estimated as at between 50 to 100 million people died from what was called Spanish flu. The Spanish got blamed for them. It wasn't their fault. Which was far more than all the people killed actually in World War I. And we can make an estimate that it's about 100 times more deadly than this coronavirus has been. Of course, you can say, well, because of the vaccinations or whatever. But anyway, Spanish flu ended and the world went right on into the roaring 20s, at least in the United States. They had what they called the roaring 20s with everyone. Not everyone, but in the cities like New York and Chicago. Anyway, it's a phase of history in which people were very upbeat and enjoying themselves and economic prosperity, of course, that all collapsed in the 1930s. But anyway, I'm just saying that the Spanish flu, which was devastating the world, so many people died, and then just ended. And shortly after that, at least in urban America, the big cities of America, people were really having a great time. So stay healthy. We should think how to stay healthy forever. It's not possible on the material platform because the body will die. But real health means to live forever, which is only possible on the spiritual platform. Which means we have to cultivate God consciousness. Most precisely, Krishna consciousness. We have to die, the body has to die. We have to die, but we will never die. We should understand that. Death of the body is inevitable, but we, the soul, will never die. So it is fearsome, maybe this coronavirus is going around, or we say, it's almost over, whatever. We're in a dangerous position in this material life if we don't develop our relationship with Krishna. Then we're in great danger of dying and being born again and again and again. So we should take protection. The holy name will save us. I gave a talk some time ago, which I gave the title, Everyone Should Get Vaccinated. And some, without listening to the talk, made the comment, this is a Kali Chala. They didn't like that at all. But then, in the course of the talk, I said the real vaccine, the protection, what can really protect us, is chanting the holy names of Krishna. You say, well, the people are chanting and they also get coronavirus. That's true, but the holy name will protect us from again and again entering the cycle of repeated birth and death. So minimally, we should chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or in other cultures, people chant the name of Jesus or Allah or whatever. Minimally, we should chant for our own benefit, for protection from the terrible cycle of material existence, of which coronavirus is only one of innumerable manifestations of the material energy that give us distress. But even above the platform of protection, let us chant the holy names with love for Krishna. A child in infancy sees the father and mother as protectors and providers. So the beginning of the relationship is one of just turning to the father and mother for how they can protect you, how they can maintain you. So similarly with God, the beginning of our relationship is to turn to him, please protect me from the miseries of material life. But over and above that, just like when the child grows up, it's expected that they have gratefulness toward the father and mother, and a relationship of love develops. So what to speak of with God? God is the Krishna, is the ultimate object of love. His love is immense, immeasurable. Our real fear should be that we pass through life without reestablishing our loving relationship with Krishna. So chanting the holy names of Krishna, that will protect us and that will bring us to Krishna, that will awaken our love for Krishna. So why be afraid of coronavirus? Take shelter of Krishna and be careful also on the material platform. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavana. Dante nithaya churnakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatame tadaham bravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kuruta nuragaha parivadatu jano yata tatava Nanu mukaro navayang vicharayamaha Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare